Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for waiting. We would like to welcome everyone to CPFL Energia's second quarter 2012 earnings results conference call. Today, we have here with us the executives, Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and other officers of the company. This call is being broadcasted simultaneously through the internet in the website at www.cpfl.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find a banner through which the presentation will be available for download. We inform that all participants will be on a listen-only mode during this call, during the company's presentation. After the presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. It is important to mention that this teleconference is being recorded. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Wilson, you may proceed.
Good morning to all investors and analysts who are joining us this morning for our conference call for the second quarter of 2012. I'd like to start this presentation on page three of the slide deck you received with the second quarter of 2012 highlights. The first highlight goes to sales in the concession area. Strong sales, up 5.3%. We're going to give you more on that later. Another important point, commercial startup of two biomass operations, Bioipê, 25 MW, Biopedra, 70 MW, both in May of 2012. The closing of the acquisition of Bons Ventos wind farms in June. We are also declaring interim dividends in the amount of 640 million reais, referring to 100% of the results of the group in the first half of 2012. Investments in the quarter amounted to 715 million. We'll give you more on that momentarily. An important observation for our credit rating, AA positive by Fitch to the issuance of subsidiaries debentures. The global scale Ba2 credit rating Aa3/BR national scale by Moody's to CPFL Renováveis. Two important credit ratings confirming the solidity of the group in both operations. In addition to that, we have an important 40% increase in the stock's average daily trading volume of our stocks and ADRs, reaching almost 50 million reais daily. Finally, the Agência Estado Distinction Awards for Companies 2012, a recognition to companies that, despite an unfavorable international scenario, managed to deliver outstanding results to its shareholders. These are the main highlights for the second quarter of 2012. Moving on to page four, we'll give you more details on the highlights. We'll start with the sales of energy in the concession area. We can see a strong growth in the captive market, up 5%, and 6.2% for TUSD consumers, those that pay the tariff to use the distribution system. These grew 6.2%.
So 5.3% increase, 14,116 gigawatt-hour in this quarter in the concession area of our 8 distribution companies. In the bottom of the slide, we see total energy sales. Direct sales to end customers. In addition to the 5% increase in the captive market of distribution companies, we can see in the bottom, in the green bars, the effect of conventional generation and trading to customers outside the CPFL Energia customers group, pointing to a 13% increase. And in yellow, we see for the first time sales from CPFL Renovables, totaling 820. So adding this set of sales on the right, we see growth year on year of 13.3%. Operations are considered in the revenues of the group. On the right side of the slide, we can see that we grew slightly more than Brazil in our service area, 5.3% vis-a-vis 5%. This is due mainly to a strong growth in the Southeast market that grew 3.6%. And the 7 distribution companies of the group, notably in São Paulo, grew 5.4%. In Rio Grande do Sul, the South grew 6.4%. Our RGE operation grew 4.8%. On slide 5, we see the details of sales by market segment. So on slide 5, we can observe that of this 5.3, we have a strong growth of the residential segment, 10.4%, 9.6% for the commercial segment, practically stable for the industrial segment, and segment others, mainly the rural segment and public service, growing 8.4%. It is true that for a more balanced comparison, we would consider the same number of days, so billing days. So when we compare, considering the calendars of the years, considering the number of billing days, the reported growth of the residential segment, we had more billing days in the second quarter of 2012 than in the second quarter of 2011. So we make an adjustment. So the growth of the residential segment would be 6.8%. And the commercial segment, 6%. Still, these are very strong and high values. And they are certainly responsible for our revenue results in the distribution activity. Moving on, I want to give you some expectations for the future. And this is important because we have a strong growth in this segment. According to research done by IPEA, we give you some of the family's expectations in the southeast and south of Brazil regarding the economics of the country. We see that 70% of the families are optimistic in the southeast, a little bit over 56 in the south. Optimistic regarding the economic situation in the next 5 years. A lot of optimism, 57, 55% respectively in the southeast and south. Families' financial situation next year. You can see the families and households are very optimistic, more than 80% in both regions, 87% in the southeast. In order to acquire durable goods, 38% in the south and 68% in the southeast. In employment reliability, again, optimism, more than 85% of the families are optimistic in both regions. On the right, we can see the intention to buy. There are still household appliances to be acquired. So we did this survey, and we observed that 98% of customers in the regions that we operate, this is a survey done in the concession area of the distribution companies, so 98% have no dishwasher. 94% of households, and we are talking about warm regions, in summer, and in the south, very cold in winter. 94% have no air conditioning. 53% have no computer or notebook. 45% of the households have no microwave oven. And 33%, that's surprising, have no washing machine. So the households are willing to acquire durable goods. And these household appliances will make a difference in the future. To analyze annual residential consumption per capita, we have in the bottom part of the page the situation of the CPFL group companies with around 695 kilowatt hour per inhabitant in 2009. Brazil, in the 10-year plan, projects a household consumption of 814. But it is true that Brazil, at the same date, had a consumption of 518 kilowatt hour per inhabitant. So definitely our consumption is higher, almost 40% higher, should be maintained at that proportion at the end of the decade. We should probably surpass the 1,000 kilowatt hour per inhabitant. But it is important to compare with other countries in Latin America, Venezuela, Argentina, Uruguay. These countries consume more than what we intend to have at the end of this decade in Brazil. If we look at Australia, on the other hand, Australia is more or less in the same latitude as Brazil. They consume about fourfold more than what we had in 2009. This is just to show that obviously, the households are doing really well at this point, and this could be responsible for a significant development and increase in commercial and residential energy consumption in the country. We're moving to slide seven, to the results of the second quarter of 2012. Always the disclaimer. In the top line, we have the results that we reported, IFRS results, and at the bottom, especially for analysis purposes, a more balanced set of results, because here it considers the regulatory assets and liabilities effects. In IFRS reporting, this does not happen. In the Brazilian GAAP, we would consider the CVA accounting, the variation of parcel A values. And we also consider non-recurring events in the bottom line. And so we report a net revenue reaching 3,212,000,000 in this quarter, a 14.9% increase. The EBITDA of the company reaching 913,000,000, a 14.1% increase. However, the net income 234,000,000, 20% down. It is important to observe in the bottom line, however, that when we consider regulatory assets and liabilities, we have practically the same net revenue, 3.119, 14% up for the net revenue, already considering regulatory assets and liabilities and non-recurring events, EBITDA growing 19.3%, 1,062,000,000 reals, and the net income practically stable. Exactly the same number that we had in the second quarter of 2011, 344 million. At the bottom of the slide, we see the details about the non-recurring events. You will remember in the same quarter of 2011, we talked about the retirement incentive program. We started seeing the results. The results of this month show that the provision for contingency of ISS tax on services for Campos Novos, the basic network charges due to EPASA, this is a non-recurring value of 2010, accounting adjustments in UBP accounting of the generation companies, and physical inventory of the distribution companies' assets. This has an effect in both quarters, and these values are recovered at the moment that we have a tariff review. And we also consider in a the tariff review, a regulatory provision. This is considering not only Piratininga value, but also the value of the five smaller concessionaires in the state of São Paulo that were acquired by the company in recent years, an effect of 63 million. In terms of EBITDA, 42 million effect on the net income. In addition, other regulatory assets and liabilities, values which are quite significant, and that will be recovered by the company along the next 12 months. A result mainly of the exchange variation in this period, the dollar appreciation. Even Compagnia Paulista e Fossa di Luce had a readjustment, and they have the exchange rate of 1.80, and the exchange rate currently is around 2. If we consider all distribution companies, they have purchases of energy, availability contracts for thermal, for TPPs, and they are all volume priced according to PLD values that also increased a lot because we had somewhat a lower rainfall. So PLD varied between 140 and 180 reals per megawatt hour, when last year we had values of about 80 reals. These important variations, though, will be captured by the CVA account. But unfortunately, in IFRS, these are not considered as they used to be in the past with the Brazilian GAAP. So there will be a variation that we can see on the next slide of 75 million on the results of the second quarter of 2011, effects on the EBITDA this year 132, and these non-recurring values and regulatory assets and liabilities at 50 million for the net income last year and 110 for the second quarter of this year. Still, we consider that the results are quite positive, particularly considering the growth prospects for the company in its activities, and we'll be talking more about that momentarily. I'm moving on to slide 8. We'll talk about EBITDA, earnings before taxes, depreciation, amortization. We have here the reported value, 815. Actually, the reported EBITDA in 2011, 815. Back then, considering regulatory credits, we would get to the amount of 890 million. Now we are reporting an EBITDA of 930 million, a 14.1% increase, which added to the credits that the company has in terms of regulatory assets because of PLD, exchange variation, etc. The recurring value would be 1,062,000,000, corresponding to a 19.3% increase vis-a-vis the previous year. With these explanations that can be clearly seen here, we see an important variation of regulatory assets and liabilities. So we are going to detail now the reported number, the 14.1% increase in EBITDA from last year to now, a 14.9% increase of net revenues, which is due mainly to a 5% increase in sales to the captive market and average tariff readjustment of our distribution companies of 5.3%. Practically half of the revenue increase is due to this item. Also, the integration of CPFL Renovável is 122 million, plus conventional generation and commercialization and services operating more strongly than in the previous year, also using secondary energy, amounting to 110 million. And finally, the 6.5% increase in revenues from TUST. 6.5% increase in revenues from TUST, another 21 million. And with this increase in revenues, there was also an increase in deductions from revenues, 8.7%, amounting to 128 million. In this quarter, as you know, we did a rotation of our independent auditing firms, and following the guidance of Deloitte, our auditing company, now we started the reclassification of PIS, COFINS tax credit based on depreciation for deduction from revenues. It is the first time that we're mentioning this. This has no impact whatsoever on net income, but we deducted these credits in the financial line. Now, the reclassification of tax credits of PIS, COFINS based on depreciation are now included. On the other hand, there was a 14.9% increase in the net income. This is what justifies the regulatory assets. We had a 23.5% increase in the energy costs and charges, Of these, 26% increase in costs with purchased energy for resale, 324 million. Here, the PLD and exchange rate are important, and 11.1% increase in charges that always increase in January of every year. Some concessionaires do not include that in their tariffs until they have the tariff readjustments. So these 34 million will be somewhat recovered by CVA. It's important to mention, I talked about the exchange rate, 158 to 2. And it's also important to mention PLD, 164.55 in the second quarter of 2012, when it used to be 20.45% in the second quarter of 2011. So we see a greater increase in the cost of energy and charges. The good news is that we had a reduction of 12.3% in our operating costs and expenses, adding to 56 million. In the previous year, in the same quarter, we had the retirement incentive program and the extraordinary provision of ISS tax in the Campus Novus HPP, amounting to 10 million. On slide 9, I give you our personnel, material services, and others cost, PMSO. We have here the reported amount of 456 million. It's the second blue bar in the top graph. However, it's important to highlight that in the 456 million, we would need to remove the non-recurring events, that ISS provision, which I mentioned a little while ago, and the physical inventory of assets. These are amounts recovered in the revision processes and the retirement incentive program, which would give us a PMSO, a recurring PMSO of 387 million when adjusted. Well, to this reported amount of 456 million, there is this reduction that we had highlighted of 56 million, 33 million for personnel and charges, and 23 million for materials, third-party services, and others. And we reach to a reported PMSO of 400 million. And incorporate 28 million for the consolidation of CPFL Renovables and 7 million for the physical inventory of assets underway to conclude the tariff review cycle. So this is a comparison, reported amounts, a reduction of 12.3%, and in adjusted value, a reduction of 5.8%. And at the bottom, we see why all of that is happening. I tried to capture with my team some important items. Because of our OBZ, zero base budget, we see, for example, improvement in airline tickets purchasing. We increased the average time for advanced purchases. We had a 15% reduction in the price of airline tickets. Paper consumption also showed a 36% reduction. We are now using more email. We are restricting printing in the company. So 36% reduction there. And in printing and Xerox copy, photocopies, we had the removal of local printers. And that brought about a 77% reduction in the unit cost of printing. So these are quite significant and substantial values. Operationally, some things also happened. For example, vehicle fleet, monthly about 3 million reals reduction in our vehicle fleet cost, the reduction of kilometers driven, optimization, optimizing use of vehicle pools, fleet management, telemetry equipment, collection initiatives. We also started segmenting our customers for specific action plans for each segment. And finally, one highlight for the quarter, reading and delivering of bills, a 2 to 3 million real reduction there, involving the alignment of the values charged by banks for all distribution companies or discos. Bills sent by email and layout changes in a new paper type for warnings and re-warnings. So these are some measures that we have adopted in the company and that all together accounted for this reduction, which is pursued by us and which is part of our strategy to prepare the company for the tariff review cycles that will be coming up. On page 10, I give you a report on our net income. Here, the same comment as made before. As we look at a recurring net values, net of regulatory assets and liabilities, we are talking about a 0% variation compared to the same quarter of last year. But in the reported value, we see a 20 million reduction. We talked about an EBITDA increase of 14%, 115 million reals. And here, a such reduction in the negative net financial result, 30.9% increase, 56 million, mainly due to an increase in interest expenses of the company, about 19% increase in interest expenses amounting to 58 million, consolidation of CPFL Renovables, 44 million, currency effect from energy from Itaipu at the distribution companies, 16 million, an increase of debt, 15 million. It's important to mention that the company has benefited not only from the increased debt stock, because we have to serve a robust CapEx and acquisition processes, and we're also benefiting from an important market intelligence in funding, which is our funding is CDI pegged, where there was a 2.8 CDI of 2.8% in the second quarter of 11 and 2.1% in the second quarter of 12. And more recently, we had a drop of TJLP, which is an important indicator for the financial commitments and obligations of the company. Savings of financial expenses amounting to about 65 million. On a positive side, we had a 55% decrease in UBP, 17 million, mainly due to the non-recurring net effect adjustments of the generation company's UBP accounting. In addition to a worsening in the financial results, we had an increase in depreciation and amortization, 52%. And I'd like to be clear to some of our analysts, we know that you have this question in your mind, that reclassification of these COFINS that was happening at the base of the revenue that we highlighted a little while ago, is deducted here at the same proportion. That's why we have a no effect on profit, increasing the line of depreciation and amortization, this item. This item has, as a main element, the consolidation of CPFL Renovables, 57 million reals, and on the other hand, reclassification of PIS, COFINS tax credits based on depreciation for deductions from revenues, 50 million. We consider to have the surplus of 20 million for the pension fund, and we have a reduction of income tax and social contribution amounting to 5 million reais. So a reported result, which is 20% lower. However, a recurring result, considering additional investments to grow the company, we are breaking even, zero to zero comparison.
640 million reals, that's the result for this half year, or distributing 100% of net income as dividends, amounting to 640 million reals, or 60 cents of real per share to be paid in the last day of September. For those who were investing, the dividend yield is 6.1%. Next, on page 12, as we said before, we'll be breaking down the capex of the company and the major acquisitions. They are not all listed here, just the main ones. For the capex of the company, here we highlight the last 12 months. 715 million over the quarter, 339 in distribution, 371 for generation, and 5 million for commercialization and services. And the total over the last 12 months is 2,437,000,000. Strong investment in distribution, therefore concluding the format of our basis. regulatory basis for each one of distribution companies and for generation, naturally, a very intense program, remarkably, in the area of renewables, adding to $2,437,000,000. And in this area, this is where we're in renewables, that's where we had several operations of acquisitions over the last 12 months. I just made a point in mentioning the major ones. Gentoo's Wind Farm, the acquisition of SIFI, and Bonsventos Wind Farm, both in operation. And if we add these two transactions, we have almost $2,600,000, and $1,400,000 is cash operations, and $1,200,000 in debt taken by these transactions. Here we're not mentioning debt because the closing is this quarter, but we have additional $112 million. If we focus on this picture alone, if we add $2,437,000,000 over the last 12 months as CapEx, we would still have the fruit of this acquisition cash expenditure of about 1.5 billion reals, or adding to something around 3,900,000,000 as investment to grow the operations of the company in each one of the sectors we're active in. And that has an impact on debt. Now on page 13, we report the results. And just as an important, well, the debt at the end of the second quarter is 11.8 million reals. And here we have an important consideration to make. The company also understands, and I've been highlighting in this presentation, the impacts related to the format or how we account for according to IFRS. We had negotiation with all our finance agents. And here we have a calculation that has an impact on our covenants. And this calculation adjusts the company EBITDA according to their operations. As you can see, we have proportional consolidation of CPFL Renováveis for IFRS, 100% of the debt. But for covenant, financial covenants, here we have another share. And the same goes for Seran, also posting for IFRS 100% and consolidating 65%. Naturally, we have the inclusion of CVA account. It is the core of the company's results at the date of operation. And naturally, we also mention pro forma EBITDA of assets involved in acquisitions. Out of this measure, our EBITDA, known as adjusted EBITDA, and basically it is the EBITDA of the core of the company's activities of $4,152,000,000. Now compared to $11.8 billion as leverage, therefore we have a net debt, adjusted net debt, adjusted EBITDA ratio of 2.81. And this is, therefore, the indicator used by our finance agents to assess our covenants that are always greater than 365. On the other hand, if you were to consider only the criterion of IFRS as reported, our net debt EBITDA ratio would be 333. It's important to mention, and also to greet Lorival and his team, congratulations for having made this achievement and negotiating with our finance agents. We are very comfortable now when we report these results vis-a-vis our debt. On the other hand, that's the debt profile. It remained unchanged this quarter. That was just concluded in June 30. But 61% of the debt is pegged to CDI, 31% long-term interest rate, and prefix is basically operations with BNDES of PSI, the program to sustain our investment and growth, and on the other hand, 3%, which is pegged to IGP, and that's the recognition of the company's debt for pension funds or long-term debt. Now on the next page, it's important to show the solid cash position of the company closing the quarter with more than 2 billion reals, having paid this quarter about 750 million reals as dividends and served to the investments made and that we made reference to before. However, the debt coverage is for 1.2 times short-term amortizations of the company. short term, 1,735,000 for the next 12 months. So there is plenty of cash for this operation. As to the company's financing profile, 4.3 years, and the short term is 12 months, only with 11% of the total. However, the company is very much linked naturally with macroeconomic scenarios, and obviously it is not insensitive to this more complex scenario when it comes to the world scenario. So for this reason, more precisely, we had a pre-funding in July, two operations to finance our operations of distribution. Basically, that's it, both by debenture issuance in CVM 4.7.5 modality, a very successful operation amounting to 1.3 billion reals at an average cost of CDI plus 0.8% per year with a 7-year tenor. So this pre-funding will allow us to be preventive when it comes to our future debts. And funding, well, we already had very good operations in this modality, expanding our list of operations, international agents, swapped by CDI. And here we also have close to 3 million reals at an average cost of 104.7 CDI. So these are very successful operations, very competitive costs, and the best benchmark in the sector. And we feel comfortable, as you can see on the next slide. In late July, our cash position was close to 3.6 billion reals, and it covers more than 2 times short-term amortizations, and they improve our debt profile to 4.4 years, and also short-term around 10%. So our finance company can also have prepayment operations for next year. On the next page, just an important report of credit rating both for CPFL Renováveis and also the three discos that was the subject of 1.3 as debentures. I would just like to highlight now the variation. It is the first time we do that for renewables. So here we report our experience in the construction and building of SPPs, the strong shareholders of the company, diversified energy. It is the only renewable platform with 3 sources, wind, SPP, biomass with a stable cash flow, and we can ensure long-term financing. And now for debenture issuance. Here we report the market position and the asset base of the group with strong cash generation ability and moderate leverage and robust liquidity and positive strategies to expand generation. Now on page 18, I would just like to give you a brief report of the tariff review. This is the schedule of our first operation of CPFL Piratininga, which started in June 19. ANEEL submitted the order to the company. And in July, we had a public hearing, and also we published the first documents. And then we'll have interactions until October. In August 16, we had our face-to-face public hearing. Suggestions and also class entities and consumers will be present. On 17, we'll be closing the hearing, and it is the final term. And then there'll be a submitted a final proposal to the company, and August 18, we'll have a meeting with a rapporteur. So probably on October 12, we'll have a meeting with ANEEL's board, and then we'll be publishing the tariffs. On the next page, let us try to be more didactic. Let us show the moves behind these results. In the upper part, we have a table of the main data. I know this is important for each one of the analysts. This is just to show that ANEEL usually publishes or disseminates consumers' perception, in this case 8.8% negative. However, their tariff repositioning, or maybe the right use of all the tariff review elements, amount to minus 3.4. unlike 8.8 is consumer perception because they work with two different bases, not only the economic base of readjustments, but also the financial one, working on recovery or payments, or basically CVA. So important is to consider that repositioning is -3.4 as economic value. And at the bottom of the chart, our team tried to show the movements of the regulatory beta, just to give you a sense, a clear idea of this movement. First of all, the regulatory beta of the second cycle of the company, which happened by the end of the process, was 236 million reals. What happens over that time? First of all, for process effect, there was a monetary update. Please know that the monetary update at the base is 32.91% for this period, and that's highlighted in the notes at the bottom of the slide. As EBITDA, and basically we have EBITDA here, so it is monetary update, which is the asset base updated by IGPM, considering 78 million in the previous walk. But as you know, the process review, tariff review, included a walk reduction. So that base updated, that allow us to have 9.95 remuneration, now can be 7.5%, therefore 2.45% less. And considering that base, it leads to a reduction of 51 million that I mentioned before. So we would be starting the cycle with a monetary update and walk reduction with a result of 263 million reals as EBITDA, regulatory EBITDA, pro forma EBITDA before the third cycle. And then we will see that what happened between the second and the third quarter. First of all, investment by the company over the cycle. Investments that have been reported to you as I've just broken down before. 101 million reals is incremental at the EBITDA base according to the new regulatory walk. And to this move, as part of the process, we also have assets of the protected base on an incremental basis, 100% depreciated, basically from the hedged or protected base of the company. So have they been fully amortized, depreciated, so there is no further remuneration, they have to be written off. So that's the effect. You invest over the period exactly to make up again the life cycle or that some assets that have already expired. So we give the feeling, have the sense that we invested more than depreciation. So 111 of incremental investment and 89 million as EBITDA of write-offs of assets that were fully depreciated. And then there is another remark on the quality of the postings of the company. And here we have different volumes and adjustments made by the regulating agency. As we can see in the asset auditing reports already delivered according to the new methodology of the accounting reports for the electrics. So we have a slight adjustment of 16 million. Anyway, we would be starting, and basically that's what's included in this report at the top, 258 million reals, a regulatory EBITDA of the company. Please note that at the top, you will see on the third line in pink, the regulatory EBITDA, G, which adds C, which is our reintegration regulatory quota, and also F, which is capital remuneration or the net base multiplied by walk before taxes, 259 million reals, and that's the regulatory EBITDA of the company. And at the bottom, I just wanted to show a move of the EBITDA that stem from the movement that happened over the review. Monetary correction, the use of the new walk, investment or incremental investment, written off of assets, 100% appreciated, and our adjustments. Now on page 20, just to report finally, here we have the startups of BioIP, 29 megawatts, BioPedra, biomass larger, 70 megawatts, a PPA or contract of lead of 15412, which will also give an annual revenue of 33 million reals per year. And next, on page 21, you can see the conclusion of a first wind farm that we build directly, 188 megawatts. And this farm is located, as you know, in Rio Grande do Norte, Santa Clara wind farm. It was the subject of that first auction that took place in late 2009. We started construction in 2010, financed by BNDES, 65%, 35% ratio. And this asset also has lead contracts at December and updated by the end of last year, a 20-year contract, and it will also bring revenues amounting to 112 million reals per year. And this is important to show, as you've been following up, some of our farms, this is not the only farm, some of them were completed within the timeline. July 1st, our farm was available for the system. However, the commercial operation depends on an ECG that is not ready yet. The company has a protocol with all the documents at the agency level showing the farm availability. And we are confident that these are the documents required to be in compliance with the revenues as the LED. And on page 22, here we report the status of the main projects under construction. South Tugóis with 80% concluded, financed by BNDES. That's an SPP. So the SPP will be starting up in the first quarter of next year. And the two HPPs for biomass under construction started at the same time. The difference of completion is related to the licenses. The whole process is expected to be completed in the second quarter of next year. Two of 50 megawatts, two HPPs, and now they're being analyzed by BNDES. On page 23, here we show the amounts of assets to be in 2013. 104 on average basis, and here basically we're referring to wind assets. The Macacos complex with 25% concluded, installed capacity of 78 megawatts. Campos dos Ventos 2, well, adds to 30 megawatts, and Atlantica complex recently acquired in the second half of the year of 2013 amounted to 120 megawatts. We have already requested financing by BNDES, and they all have a PPA with the system, as you can see on the right. Macacos, 13730 megawatts per hour, Campos dos Ventos, 13370, and Atlantica, 147. They are all in the currency of December 2011. Now, just concluding, 2014, two further projects underway. Campos dos Ventos, this is the largest, 138 megawatts, and São Benedito, additional 116, adding to 254 megawatts. Startup scheduled for the second quarter of 2014. This is for the free market. Financing has already been requested to BNDES. I would just like to conclude, first highlighting how happy we are to be awarded, having the distinction award by Agência Estado in 2012, and also the Abradi Award. RGE was awarded as the best distribution company in the South. Paulista and RGE were also acknowledged thanks to the management quality, and CPFL Leste Paulista for social responsibility in 2012. I conclude just showing on page 26 our actions and our stock performance. Here we have the average daily volume that improved about 40%, just confirming the importance of that operation of stock bonus or the split of shares generating more liquidity, and today we're trading about 50 million reais on a daily basis, 30 in New York and 20 here in São Paulo at Bovespa. Stock performance over the last 12 months, the company has performed above ISE and above Ibovespa, as you can see at the bottom chart. These are my remarks, and with my team, I'll be happy to take your questions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be starting out the Q&A session. If you want to ask questions, please press star one. If you want to remove your question from the list, please press star two.
Our first question comes from Mr. Vinicius Canhão from Credit Suisse. Wilson, good morning. My question has to do with the consolidation of the distribution industry. This has been, for a long time, a topic of CPFL since the IPO. One of the main impediments was the tariff cycle, review cycle. Now that we have the first tariff readjustments coming out and the capital market is already reflecting the impact looking forward, I would like to know, can we, in the next year or month, follow this movement, or is it time to wait? Only when the reduction cycles are over should we have some kind of movement, especially by CPFL, which is, if not the main player, one of the main players in the industry.
Thank you, Vinicius. This is a good question, and I'd like to start answering saying, no doubt the tariff review is the main driver for a consolidation to occur. In this case, we have a tariff review which requires from concessionaires a much higher efficiency level than ever before. We are talking about important reductions in the operating results of the companies because of an almost 25% reduction in the regulatory WACC from 10 to 7.5. This will require from companies a financial efficiency and operating efficiency levels which are much higher than ever before. Undoubtedly, consolidation is an important element in an activity which is clearly scale related for consolidation to happen. Now, if we have all the conditions for consolidation to occur, because some concessionaires, because they don't have scale, some of these utilities will not be able to operate within the new parameters. We need to have this condition in place, but it's not sufficient. Why is it not sufficient? Because on the other side of the equation, we have the seller. The consolidation process has to make sense for the buyer. We'll have to bring in technology, skills. They'll need to impose a higher efficiency level to the concession, but it needs to be paid for. It needs to create value. I can talk up for part of the CPFL group. We're very criteria driven. We are very financially disciplined, and we do have in place all the necessary conditions to face the consolidation process and to participate in this expansion. There's also the other side of the equation. We have to have the ability to buy at the correct price, so as to be able to create value for our shareholders and for our consumers and customers. We have to bring benefits of our efficient operations to the markets served, and we need to be able to create value to our investors who obviously trust us, and they want consolidation to bring good results for the group. It will allow us to have more scale, more synergy, more efficiency, and at the end of the day, it will translate into an increased operating result for the company and better net income, or else it wouldn't make sense. At this point, the reviews are just getting started, and they create the right conditions. From then on, as you know, it is a negotiable process. We are attentive to the opportunities. We have differentiated skills and competencies, and we can create value to the different target audiences, the consumer segment and the shareholder segment.
Thank you. I'd like to remind you that if you want to ask questions, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Mr. Sergio Tamashiro from Safra Banco. Good morning. Wilson, still talking about consolidation. And from the standpoint of the regulator, firstly, what about the PMSO? Do you believe that with all of these reductions, you will have a PMSO much lower than the regulatory PMSO? And along those lines, do you believe that NAL was saying that they could try to pass on the holding gain to end customers? Do you think that the regulatory agents will continue of requiring more and more efficiency from the distribution companies? Well, Sergio, we are working to have a reduction in the PMSO of the company. And undoubtedly, the goal is to make it lower than the regulatory PMSO, which has been a tradition in the past cycles. That's how our distribution companies behaved. This is our goal, and I think I am sharing with you a part of these results in this quarter, and I am sure that we have other things underway that will allow us to make these adjustments in the next few months, because we have tariff review cycles starting in October, extending to February when we have the other 5 distribution companies, and then in April in Paulista, our highest asset, and in June for RGE. So we have the time frame for these changes and transformations to allow us to work within the new reality, ideally below the values proposed by the regulatory agency. On the other hand, the regulator is always keeping an eye on a higher efficiency for the whole system. And I always highlight that the mission of NAL is to mediate the several interests. There's an interest on the part of the consumer, and there's also an interest on the part of the investor. In order for consolidation to reach the intended result by the agency, the regulatory agency, it has to promote some kind of balance. If the process becomes unfeasible for investors, consolidation will not occur, and we won't derive the efficiency and quality gains expected. What we would see would be a loss of the operations, and that would not ensure sustainability to the system. I believe that NAL is quite a mature regulatory agency. This process, we've had almost 15 years from privatization, and they want to promote this kind of balance. It's no use capturing everything, because if you capture everything and there's no prospect of remunerating investments made in consolidation, this consolidation will not come to be. Again, consolidation is an option of qualified and efficient investors to create value to all stakeholders. They will not just make money. They'll make money, but also share efficiency, quality, customer care for the stakeholders' customers. This is followed by lower tariffs, but it has to allow remuneration to investors, or else the process would not become feasible. So I candidly believe that the regulatory agency will be attentive to this process so as to allow consolidation to occur with all of the expected benefits, including the licit remuneration of investors like us. Thank you. My second question has to do with your debt level that has been increasing a lot. Well, perhaps not a lot, but close to optimized levels. But looking forward with a reduction in EBITDA, but with a very aggressive CAPEX program, more than 700 million reais per quarter, how do you see your debt level in the end of 2012 and 2013? And we still don't have the cash generation coming from these investments. Do you believe that you would not be
allowed to make more acquisitions? Well, I tried to explain our leverage level in using the correct metric, the metric that we incorporated. Compared with 281, we have a movement that resulted from the reviews. The EBITDA of our operations should decrease slightly between 15 and 20% of the operations that remain. Piratininga is the operation that we always mentioned as the company that could show the highest decrease because it had a market growth that was greater over the cycle. So these values can get close to 30%. But for the total of our operations, the main operations, we're always talking about 15%. So there will be a reduction of that amount. It is true. I said minus 3.4 for Piratininga, the final tariff. But we haven't included here the annual readjustment that will happen. So, Sergio, it is true that we are going to see a decrease. But we have to look at the flip side of the coin. The result of these investments above depreciation, we are having smaller reductions than some of our peers regarding the so-called tariff review cycle. On the other hand, we have very large investments underway, some of them already giving us results. I tried to show you three investments in renewables that generated this kind of leverage. We had commercial startup, investment of around 1 billion reals made that produced no type of EBITDA and that now are showing some revenue. I gave you the revenues. You have your own methodologies to assess and to evaluate how will be the remuneration of these investments. So I should say that we don't really expect substantial variations in the next 2 years regarding our debt level ratio in this metric of 2.8. It might increase slightly, perhaps 3 times, but very distant, I would say, from our covenants. And if the company wants to take the initiative to make some acquisitions using our financial capability, we're talking about 0.8 times the EBITDA. That's our leverage capability in an acquisition operation, an EBITDA of more than 4 billion reals as we had. But please don't forget that the company has its controlling shareholders. Controlling, well, 70% of the company is in the hands of these investors. And in order to fund an acquisition in a more adequate way in the future, we can always resort to the issuance of stock. I'm taking advantage of the position of the company. We fit both the ADR and ON in Brazil. In that fast track procedure that allows the company to have a share issuance in less than a month. So, very candidly, we are not worried about that. We feel comfortable. We manage an optimal capital structure. And you can also observe that the market now allows longer operations, longer extension operations, and with that, our situation becomes even more comfortable. And we're talking about good financing. We're talking about financing for the acquisition or long-term working capital and other financing modalities of the company. Practically 40% of the company's funding comes from funds from BNDES, both for CapEx operations for the distribution company and renewable generation. And with very elastic maturities. So that is not a concern in our radar. We do understand there is a slight upward movement. And I'm reacting to your question without detailed data. We can give you more detail, but we should not have an increase above 3. In the metric that we used, which is a more real metric, and we also have the possibility of issuing more shares. Thank you.
Once again, if you want to ask questions, please press star 1. Excuse me? That concludes the Q&A session. Now I would like to give the floor back to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for the final remarks. Please go ahead. Once again, I would like to thank you all for joining the conference call for the third quarter. Once again, I would like to highlight some of the concepts that really will make it easier for you to analyze the IFRS accounting method should be further broken down in order to consider the recurring results of the company, primarily when there is volatility of the main indexes that affect distribution, and the current accounting method does not make that so clear to all investors. So it is up to analysts in this assessment. They have a very important role, and it is important for the company, both in terms of negotiating with suppliers with proper covenants, and particularly for the company, it is very important to have this acknowledgement in order to provide a great capital structure and also envisaging the future scenario. The operations that I mentioned today, and also my colleagues, when it comes to pre-funding, we all see this as a sign of our financial discipline, which is critical to us. We are very bullish when it comes to the company's activities. In each one of these activities over the quarter, we had good results. For distribution, for instance, the good performance of our market in generation, particularly because now we can have a higher operating efficiency and the use of secondary energy generating more revenues to the group. And we also highlight commercialization. The market is very dynamic. We have been well-positioned. Our organization chart approved last year has already delivered good results. The company is opening representation offices in Rio Grande do Sul, Rio de Janeiro, and Recife, looking for prospects and trying to have a more efficient structure, trying to really have new clients and go for clients with innovative strategies. That's important to be highlighted. And finally, and naturally, the topic of renováveis, renewables. We had a chance to share a little bit the results of this important strategy for growth. It is important to say that for the whole group, our strategy is oriented not only for growth, but also innovation. The program has been very much encouraged, both by the controlling shareholders, the company's top management. And it's on top of that that I believe that part of the results we shared, well, innovation should bring gains of value, more efficient processes, and thanks to better efficiency, we can lower our costs. We have a big team focused on those activities. We are very optimistic with the same results that we are beginning to have. We still need automation in distribution, be it in terms of measurement or monitoring of our working teams, as well as automation of keys and a smartest distribution grid, which is very long, and also the use of more efficient materials or more reliable materials so we can perform our activities. And altogether, it will bring all the benefits behind more efficient operations, better quality of service, and better costs. So that's a take-home message that encourages the group in all our activities, not limited to distribution, even though it is the most demanding cost-wise. But it goes beyond. It also includes generation, commercialization, and services. So we were very happy to have you here with us, and we have a final optimistic message towards the future, linked naturally to the strategy that we've been working together with our shareholders. Thank you for your attention. CPFL Energia's conference call is concluded now. Would like to thank you all for joining us. Good afternoon. Thank you.